Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with enthusiasm, because they are listening to the Mark Unger Show, where we discuss all things concerning
marriage.
We are here to help you in your marital dilemmas. I am, of course, Mark Unger.
Well, who'd you expect, numbnuts?
And the reason I do this show is because
I haven't got a brain.
And I've got nothing else better to do, but I'm here nonetheless with the eternally delightful Diane Brierley, my psycho-crazy son-in-law, Ross Allen Skorzewski, and being engineered today, as always, by the mysterious man behind the curtain, Timothy Ray. This is the show where you get the chance to send in your emails and ask your marital or relational dilemmas. If you've ever been listening to a show like this, man, I got a question. What do I do about this, that, and the other? You get to do it via email. You don't have to call. A lot of people are uncomfortable having to call. And you can do it totally anonymously via email. And shoot us anything you want. Whatever's got to do with relationships, any way, shape, or form, we'll take a shot at it. Be forewarned, we will be immensely brutal and honest when we respond to you. We take that liberty because we don't know who you are. So your good news is we don't know who you are. Our good news is we don't know who you are. Okay, so don't listen to this and get all upset because we're so, oh my God. Because I promise you, I would never be this mean to anybody who actually sat and told me these stories. I would be very, you know, kind and fine. You know what I'm saying? I'd still try and get the point across, but it would take, you know, half an hour or 45 minutes of talking trying to, well, we don't have the time for that in the show. So I just go straight for the, what the heck are you thinking thing, and we throw that out at you. So anyway, you can check that out. And at radio at markgunger, G-U-N-G-O-R .com. Mrs. Brierley, how are you today?
How are you? I am wonderful.
I haven't seen you in minutes.
Did you go Christmas shopping yet? Do you have the gift for your lovely wife yet?
No, I should ask her what she wants, I suppose, by now.
You probably should do that now that
today is the, what, 22nd?
22nd.
So we are just a few days out from Christmas.
Did you get my present yet?
Christmas time.
It is the 21st.
Oh, it is the 21st.
It's the 21st.
Die for fun and die for cheer.
I think you should go into the recording studio and cut that and give it to her for Christmas. She would love that.
She would love that.
She would.
This would minister to her soul. Anyway.
Listen to you.
What have you got in the news? What psychos in the news do you have for us today?
I have an article off of the Huffington Post, little divorce section, although there's some good things on there that end up being more about marriage than divorce, but this one is about divorce. From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, a professor wrote an article on how long... Are you done with the one-man band over there?
How do we do this?
It's my water bottle.
It is. How long
Urbana,
does it...
Urbana, have you been there? Have you been there? Have you been there?
No.
I have.
I know where it is.
I used to live in Decatur, Illinois.
You did.
I used to live in Belvedere.
Which is like the armpit of Illinois. Where's Belvedere?
I have no idea. I was like 2 years old.
Oh. Isn't Belvedere like on the way to Chicago?
It's possible.
Anyway, now that we have our Illinois geography down.
Right in the center of Illinois is Decatur.
Yeah.
It smells like caca everywhere.
Is it right in the center or just south?
Soybeans. Soybeans
south of the border
cooked.
Of Wisconsin.
No, it's right in the middle. Smack dab in the middle of. Yep, Decatur.
Wow.
So anyway, this professor here wants to know, how long does it take to recover emotionally from divorce?
All right. How long does it take?
He says, Most people expect that going through a divorce will be hard and that they aren't going to feel happy. However, most people expect that as they adapt to their new lives and situation, they will begin to feel better. A recent study suggests it's more complicated.
More complicated
than that. In an article titled, Time Does Not Heal All Wounds.
Ooh, this does not bode well.
It does not. Professor Richard Lucas at Michigan State University reported that the level of life satisfaction of divorced adults does not recover to pre-divorce levels even 6 years after the divorce.
Wow.
Wow. Richard Lucas. I love his movies. Have you seen his movies?
No.
Sure.
I think that's not it.
I'm just going to say, you're wrong, Lucas.
I pushed the wrong button. I meant this one. Isn't that Richard Lucas?
I think that would be George.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wrong Lucas brother.
I thought it was Richard Lucas doing the Star Wars.
I can't believe you pulled out some big band
piece. What the heck was
piece.
That other thing? Only at the Mark Gunger Show in the middle of December, just before Christmas.
You're playing 4th
of July. A 4th of July song.
Get your sparklers out.
Are you nuts?
Yes.
Yeah, apparently I am. Okay, so.
They do not recover. You're not even listening. You're all off on your...
We clarified which Lucas this is not. Yes.
It's not. That the level of life satisfaction of divorced adults does not recover to pre-divorce levels even 6 years after divorce.
Wow.
I would say that it could be even longer than that, even though saying for 6 years. He's saying that people who divorce begin to report less satisfaction with life up to 6 years prior to the divorce. There is a steady decline in satisfaction, which reaches its lowest point about a year prior to the actual divorce. From the divorce to 4 years after the divorce, satisfaction increases, but by 5 years, it's leveled off and is still lower than during the early stages of marriage. So they never quite, even after the divorce, get as happy as they were in the early stages of marriage or pre-divorce.
Wow.
He says, are there differences between men and women? Yes, the findings seem to indicate that men are more dissatisfied than women during the reaction period, the 3 years before the marriage and the year after. Divorced men remain less satisfied with life than divorced women in the years after divorce.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So the men are more miserable.
Mm-hmm. That's what it says.
That's fascinating.
It says even divorced men who remarry do not get as much of an increase in satisfaction as women get.
Are all you people listening to this? Are you all listening to all those of you who are so miserable and thinking, gee, if I just get a divorce, I'll be happy?
You won't.
You don't get happy. It doesn't make you happy. Better to fight. I know you're miserable now, okay? But better to fight through what you're dealing with now to get a chance at real happiness. But dumping the bum to get a different bum is not your key. It doesn't work. Overwhelmingly, it does not work. Wow.
I thought that was a good one. People who think they're going to get happy and then they don't.
Oh, I'll be so much more satisfied if I just get a new husband. I'll just be more satisfied if I just get a new wife. I'll be more satisfied if I just go out there and do whatever I want to do. Because I know it will bring me totally complete, unrequited satisfaction. Song sung by all divorced people. Most divorced people, I suppose. I tried, and I married the other bum. And then I married the other bum. And then I married the other bum. Go. Interesting.
Stay married.
Not your key. Not your key to satisfaction.
It is not.
Is to get a new person. I know it seems like it would work, but it just overwhelmingly doesn't work. There are exceptions always, you know, but they are the rare exceptions. Mm-hmm. They are, in fact, the exceptions.
And people think that's the rule when it's not the rule. It's the exception.
The rule is you will be unhappy. Even oftentimes when you're married to the new person, mm-hmm. there's still this level of dissatisfaction. And, you know, it's not to condemn people, make people feel horrible. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people listening to the show have been down this path. But at some point, you still got to address and be honest about mm-hmm. these things. You know, that's always the challenge whenever – I always feel bad because whenever you start talking about what's wrong as a pastor, mm-hmm. you're preaching from what's wrong, you're looking at an audience who the vast majority of them have all done the things you're talking
that's
about.
That's exactly right.
You know, because they feel really, really bad because of what they've done. But it's not about making you feel bad. It's about, look, God will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will give you a fresh start, da-da-da-da-da. But it's not without consequences, and there's not without pains and baggage. And what we're trying to do is help you to avoid those things. But if you get in such a situation, if you don't want to help, and I know tons of pastors who won't talk about anything that might make somebody feel bad. That's why they never talk about anything. They never address anything because of fear of making somebody feel bad. But at some point, you still got to proclaim the right thing to do mm-hmm. and the wrong things to avoid. Mm-hmm. Because wrong things are very, very bad, and they will mess you up.
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
And we got to tell people what the stupid is. Well, they don't know what the stupid is. That's the thing.
And if divorce rates are 50%, then half the people... or potential divorce candidates, yeah. And what are you going to never talk about it?
Well, that's exactly what a lot of churches do. They never talk about it. They never talk about it. How many times have you ever sat in a church and heard anybody address that? Other than my church.
Your church.
You never hear them.
No.
They don't talk about it. Because they don't want to make people feel bad. You know, and single moms, well, we don't want to make them feel bad. And divorced dads who walked out on their families, well, you know, they're trying to make it right, so we don't want them feel bad. And so we get in a situation where we never talk about destructive things and why they're destructive and how they hurt people and how it doesn't really make them happy, and you stay silent so people keep repeating the same stupid.
Do you really think that you should never feel bad about stuff like that?
Do I think you should never feel
bad? They don't want people to feel bad, but shouldn't you feel bad for something that you've done? I mean, not that it destroys your life.
I think there should be a degree of regret. Absolutely. It's sin. It's destructive behavior. You can't help it. I still feel bad about some of the little things I've done to people or hurt people. And you still, even though they've forgiven you and you've repented and stuff, when you think about it, it's hard not to feel badly about it.
So then what's the big thing for trying to not make people feel bad?
I don't know because obviously I don't have that problem because I work at making people feel bad. clearly, it's not an issue of mine. But I don't understand. Gift. The only thing I can figure is these pastors are so wussed out. And of course, they've been taught over and over again not to make anybody feel bad.
So I'd be liked.
And here's the other thing too about it. You know, if you look at most pastors, God bless you guys. You know, you're my fellow countrymen in the ministry that we're called to do. But so many of these guys are such peace-motivated guys. Mm-hmm. They want more than anything just for everybody to get along.
Well, and that's for everybody to like them.
And everybody like them and like each other. And so that's their number one. Their number one motivation isn't doing what's right. Their number one motivation is that everybody get along. Mm-hmm. And if they can squeeze in what's right in the context of that, mm-hmm. then that's a win for them. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's a sad thing. And the ministry is so full of this. It's hard for people who aren't wired this way. Guys like me don't really fit into the ministry. Seminaries and stuff like that, if you're not wired to be a very peaceful, calm, have you seen these? A lot of them are just like on morphine, you know, and they're just so concerned about everything. And they're soft spoken, and you shake their hand, and it's like grabbing a dead fish, you know, and they're just la 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 la. I mean, God bless them. A lot of them are sacrificing. They're doing hard work for little to no pay, and they're trying to present the gospel of Christ. And I applaud you for all that. All I'm trying to say to the church at large is we don't need everybody to be like that. And these seminaries shouldn't be just looking for people who are like this. It's almost like if you're not wired this way, no need to apply.
Mm-hmm. You would be the radical misfit.
Oh, I've always been the radical misfit. I was most of my adult life, I was criticized by other pastors because I wasn't wired that way. And I get it. I'm really odd, no matter how you look at it. And everybody doesn't have to be as weird as I am, but for heaven's sakes, I mean, and the good thing, there are a lot of pastors out there who aren't like this. Mm-hmm. There aren't a bunch of wussified people. I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying a large percentage of mm-hmm. them. I would argue the majority of them, you know, at least over half, are these super soft, motivated, above all, let's have everyone feel good and get along. My challenge is, after decades and decades of that kind of thinking, how's that working for us?
It's not.
Like what we got. You know, we got people who come and, you know, they're afraid to stand up for anything and no values because we might push people away. You know, we got whole churches, quite frankly, they're called secret-friendly churches that won't talk about anything.
Barney must be their mascot.
Oh, yeah.
Barney. I love you.
It's the
you love
it's
me.
The Barney Church.
The Barney Church.
Instead of the cross, they should have pictures of Barney everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Because what it is, and yep. it's just, you know, and just ooh, ah, 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 ah. But to what end? What's mm-hmm. the point?
Well, how does a church help stop the incidents of divorce if they won't even talk about it?
Oh, they don't. That's why a lot of churches have as high incident of divorce as any places that aren't churches. Are you kidding? I'm telling you, I am. I know there's other guys like me. I know there are. You know.
Oh, I know. I've heard them. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're pretty rare. Mm-hmm. All my adult life, I never heard anybody talk about these things.
Well, I never heard anybody talk about it till you, but now in the last 5, 6, 7 years, I hear
yeah, it's a more and
here
more
and there
yeah,
people.
Guys are standing up and, mm-hmm. and talking about, you know, what's right and wrong. There's a way to do it without condemning people and make people feel like they want to go out and kill themselves because they messed up. No one's advocating that. And I'm not saying that your life is worthless if you've messed up. Most of the people I know have been messed up.
Including me.
Including Ross. Ross is the worst messed up man I know.
That's right.
So it's not about, you know, if you've not been perfect, you have no validity in life. I mean, good grief. But for the grace of God, there go we all. So I get that.
But you can't say it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
It does matter.
But I'm trying to think. It's not like I never condemn anybody.
No. Mm-mm. I've never heard you.
I mean, I've worked with people who've been divorced half a dozen times and had abortions and done it, you know, and I still love them and work and consider them a brother in Christ. I hire them and put them to work for me, you know. I don't think that disqualifies it. We've all sinned. We've all done. But at the same time, I'm still going to speak against these mm-hmm. things. Why? So that people will not go down the same path again.
Mm-hmm. And you also never say that it doesn't matter because you do know that it matters and you do say that it matters.
Yeah.
You're not saying it's okay, like your plan A, B, C, D is just as good as God's plan A, you know?
Yeah.
You don't say that.
No.
But you don't make people feel bad either.
But most people, I think, at some level realize it doesn't matter. And I love these studies like this that keep pointing out, look, you know, this doesn't really work so well. How long does it take to recover emotionally from divorce? Apparently, it takes a really, really, really long time. And a lot of people, they never do mm-hmm. quite get back. In fact, you want to really feel depressed? People who get divorced, it actually shortens their lifespans.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Now we're really making you feel like crap. Now y'all going to die. But, I mean, anyway. So there you have it. Our opening salvo on the Mark Gunger Show today. We will be back with your email questions right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
This Christmas season, when it comes to looking for that special gift for that special someone in your life, think outside the box and go to laughyourway.com, where all of Mark Gunger's DVDs are buy one, get one half off. This Christmas, buy the gift that will keep on giving. This offer is available only at laughyourway.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
The sounds of Mannheim Steamroller here. I hope you're all enjoying your Christmas season and getting in the move and groove as family and friends all come over and all the little rugrats gather about for Christmas. A wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I can't wait for Christmas with grandchildren.
Yes, it's great. It's like a reset button, man. It's
very
like all over
looking
again.
Forward to that very, very
They grow
much.
Up and get away, and then you kind of forget about it, and then all of a sudden the grandkids come along. It's like, woo, here we go again.
Next Christmas, that'll be us. Woo-hoo.
Very cool.
I cannot wait.
Okay, all right, Mrs. Barley, what do you got?
First email. I have been married only going on 3 years. Did everything wrong to start out with. Thought he was the perfect mate. Got pregnant, then got married. We only dated a few months first, and we stupidly agreed to get pregnant before getting married.
They agreed to get pregnant before they got married.
It gets better.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. She says, I am a Christian, and I was thinking very selfishly. All I was thinking about is how badly I wanted a baby.
Wow.
Why not get married then have a baby? Why would you agree to have a baby before you get married?
I don't know.
That's very odd.
I don't know. But they didn't date.
I can see getting pregnant. Whoops.
Yep.
You actually planned this as a Christian before you got married.
And they only dated a few months. She was afraid to get married, but yet wanted to have a baby. It makes no sense to me. I have no explanation for you.
All right.
Anyway, my point is, after I got pregnant, my husband seemed to flip a switch and wasn't really interested in intimacy anymore. And there were more red flags, of course, but love is blind. I would try to initiate and he would blow me off or lay there like a dead fish and ask what I was doing.
Huh.
I would tell him and he would say, not right now, or make up some excuse. A few months passed and he finally said it was weird to do anything because I was pregnant. So he didn't want to have sex with her because she was pregnant.
Okay.
Finally, the baby comes and months go by and I finally break down crying and say, I'm not pregnant anymore and you still aren't interested, blah, 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 blah. That week we did have sex. Keep in mind, we had not done anything for almost a year to that point.
Okay.
After that, I would talk to him and talk and talk and talk and argue and argue, and he finally said that every time we talk, he doesn't want to even more. So I tried not to mention it again. Now it's been
how can you even more not want to do something?
He didn't. He wanted to do it even less.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You already don't want to do it.
He wanted to
do it even less. Now you make him want to do it even less.
Even less.
Right.
Well, you already don't want to do it. How can you want to do it less?
I don't know.
Wow.
Apparently he was less inspired.
All right.
Now it is almost 2 years, and we have not had sex or really any intimate anything at all year. Every time I talk about it, he just gets frustrated and says that he can't understand why it bothers me so bad. I am positive he isn't cheating and isn't into porn. I think it is something medically wrong. He's 42 and I'm 27. I talked with him about going to the doctor numerous times and getting checked out, but he says it doesn't bother him, so why should he go get help? That I need the help. I'm at a loss. I do not know what to do. Please help.
You, my dear, are trapped in the Twilight Zone. That's what our marriage is like. What weird music, and it's great.
It is.
That's pretty much the soundtrack of marriage.
Hers.
For her, yeah.
Her soundtrack is worse than that. Her soundtrack is... Here's a guy who does not want to have sex with... You know, that's not really all that unusual. That, who was like... Wasn't Elvis Presley like that?
Yes. What? Yes, yes, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
When she was pregnant and after she was a mama?
Then he wouldn't have sex with her anymore.
Mm-mm.
Because they weird out. Something's wrong in their heads.
What, because they were sex objects and all of a sudden they became
their mothers. Yeah, yeah.
And that's just, the turnoff. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's and especially hard. Today when you go into all the appointments and the labor and delivery and you go through all that, I think that that's really hard for some guys to deal with. I do. Hmm. You're looking at me like I'm strange, Ross. Apparently it's not hard for
well,
you.
Because I'm a guy and I'm not weirded out by it.
No, I know. I have heard frequently of men being weirded out by it. Yeah, that it's not that uncommon.
So listen, it's not totally uncommon, but it doesn't make it right. I mean, it's not, I shouldn't say it's not uncommon. It's still pretty rare, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
okay, that for some reason something gets switched in their heads. I mean, clearly he needs to get help. The real thing that concerns me is that he knows this is wrong. You know it's wrong. And he's saying, I don't care. Why should I go get help? It's not bothering me. Well, because you're not supposed to be a selfish, narcissistic pig. Okay? You're married. He's supposed to be a husband to you. My advice to you, dear, I would force a thing. I would kick him out. I would kick him out of your house. Mm-hmm. It's very, very simple. I wouldn't divorce him, but I would definitely separate. And I'd say, I would let his parents know and your friends know and your parents know that the problem with it, because they're going to say, why, what's going on? Why are you separating? Say, he doesn't want to have sex with me. Mm-hmm. He hasn't wanted to since we got pregnant in the first place. Now, for all you other women out there, oh, golly, girls, could you be more clueless? And what are you doing? I mean, she starts out talking about starting out wrong. You're a married guy you just know for a few months. You decide to get, why would he decide intentionally to get pregnant before you get married? I mean, that's a little bizarre. So, dear, you've got some issues. Clearly, you have some issues. You aren't thinking clearly in the first place. So, you know, and why these women do these things and cross these lines that they shouldn't be crossing, and then they're miserable after they go through this. Girls, is this the kind of marriage you want? Is this what you want to see? Is this what kind of life you want to have? This is what you're going to have when you don't do things the right way. That's why you're supposed to do them the right way. So obviously she didn't. It's not the end of the world. But now you're married to a guy who is kind of clueless and there's something weird with him. He needs some help. He's not going to go get help unless you force the issue. I would force it. What's his motivation? You're there. He has a home. Everybody knows he's married. He's got the benefit of everyone knowing that he's married. You guys say you're Christians. I presume you go to church, so everybody thinks everything's fine. So he gets this great facade of normality when, in fact, he's very abnormal. And you maintain the facade. So he doesn't want to change. You need to rip away the facade. You're not living together anymore. You're separated. He doesn't have a wife anymore. He's not around his child anymore like he should be. And the pressure builds from family and friend, and he needs to go get help. Now, what his problem is, I think it's something more mental than physical. He might be having a physical problem. I don't know. Yeah. All I know is he's very sexual. And then, of course, how does she know he's really sexual? They've only been together for a couple of months before they got married. As soon as she gets pregnant, her sexual experience with him had to be a matter of weeks, for heaven's sakes.
Well, or months at the most.
Anyway, look, all I know is you got in a bad situation. You probably should have. Well, I know you should have never gotten into it, and you wouldn't have if you'd have been thinking clearly and doing the right things. Warning to all you other single women out there, quit having sex with these guys, because sex will make you stupid, and then you do the dumbest things in the world. Too late for her. She married this guy, but you don't set this. You do not tolerate this anymore. No one. You do not dare email me in 10 years and say, for 10 years we haven't had any sex. No. It ends today. You kick him out of the house and let him know when he starts to be a real husband to you, you'll be a real wife back to him. Do not divorce him, but you need to separate. You need to force this issue. You guys need to go and get some help. More after the break.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com. Mark Gunger's sold-out women's conference is now available on DVD.
Here's the question of the evening. Why would a man like myself be concerned about helping women become strong, confident women? Because I'm concerned about marriages, families, churches. Ultimately, I'm concerned about men. You're here tonight because I'm concerned about men.
Thank you.
Why would I be concerned about men? Because I do not believe that we will be able to unlock the spiritual potential in men as long as we have women who enable those men to act very badly.
Order your Butt-Kicking Women's Conference DVD with over 6 hours of life-changing speakers. Available at laughyourway.com.
Children are singing, being traumatized by watching mom making out with some weirdo in a red suit. If you have such a marital dilemma, please email us at radio@markgunger.com and we will do our best to weigh in on the situation. What have you got there?
Okay, this is very funny. It's just a real quick little short news survey story before we go on with emails. It says, the study of 2,000 of the most recent divorce clients showed that the top three most common names for men were Mark, David, and Michael, with Susan, Caroline, and Nicola being the most common for women. So it seems that if your name is Mark or Susan, you don't want to marry them because you have a higher chance of getting divorced.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
If you haven't, Mark, David.
Mark, David, and Michael are the three most common names.
For guys who get divorced.
Yeah. Susan, Caroline, and Nicola. N-I-C-O-L-A, Nicola. This is out of the Nicola. UK. So that's not a real common U.S. name.
Nicola.
But that's what it sounds like. It says they researched the...
Who knows somebody named Nicola?
I said it's out of the UK, so it must be a common name
Nicola,
over there.
My name is Nicola.
They did the online divorce applications.
What kind of moronic connecting of dots is this? So apparently you wouldn't get divorced if your name was Fred, Bob, or Larry.
No, all they did was look at the 2,000 of the divorces that were filed online, and it showed that those were the most common names of the people filing through their divorce
Mark.
Online.
Mark would be the number one name.
Mark, that's it.
How sad is that?
Well, they don't say that those are probably the most common names. You know, that's why it shows up, because they're the most common names. They're just making the case that...
I think it's a brilliant study.
Don't marry somebody
named Mark.
I am
smarter now because I have attained this information.
Isn't that funny, though? The number one name... Mark. Of people who have got divorced.
Mark. Susan. Mark. And Susan for the woman. And the Susan. Least likely to divorce her.
Good thing I didn't marry that woman named Susan. Susan. We've been doomed.
Theo, Roy, and Liam are the names of the least likely to divorce. Theo, Roy, and Liam. And Penelope, Shannon, and Sophia.
That's because names like that, they're not getting
That's
married.
No, there's just not many people with those names. It just seems silly that they connected the dots this way.
Nicola!
Anyway, because it was Mark, I had to do it. I'm sorry I had to do that to you. So, anyhow.
Oh, isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Why are you saying sorry for something that you did on purpose?
I don't know. Just because it makes... I don't know. He knows I'm not sorry.
Really sorry.
He knows I'm not sorry.
Oh, my.
I'm not sorry. Okay, email comes in that wants to know, which one of the ladies are you trying to hook up? You know the Dating for Dana?
Yes, Dating for Dana.
I just need to make it perfectly clear. It is not me. I wasn't going to read that. And then I thought, yes, wait a minute. I do need to read it because it's not me that they're trying to hook up. It's Dana, the producer, who's not even here
today. She's not even here. She got tired of our abuse.
Okay. Anyway, here's the real question. In talking about when you go on, it's a very short question. I have to explain it to you. When you talk about not using words... Without words, you know, you're spiritually talk about. She wants to know, what about your wife? Do you do the same without words for your wife?
Huh?
Are you understanding that?
The Bible says that a woman can have an influence on a man without words. What she wants to know is, does it work?
The other way.
The other way? I don't know.
Do you do that with your wife?
The Bible doesn't say the other way.
So take that.
So there.
So it only works for...
Look, I'm not saying you can't use words to explain why you're doing and what needs to be done and stuff like that. But I think the reason why Paul wrote this is because women will word people to death. And they just la 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 la. You know, I'll sit in counseling sessions and I mean, they don't stop. I mean, I get visions of wanting to take my own life listening to these people. And I'm saying, stop. Stop. Well, I'm just trying to tell them how I feel. You're killing me. I'm not even married to you and I want to kill you. Not good grief. No, not you.
It is me because you've sat and hollered, shut up, shut up, stop talking. You have
no, that's because you were yelling. I'm talking not just yelling, I'm talking.
Do you even remember?
Yeah, I remember.
It was years ago.
Yeah, because you were yelling and screaming. I said, shut up, for heaven's sakes. You're just screaming and hollering. It doesn't make any sense. I'm talking about just talking them
to death. Well, I do that too.
Just la 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 la, and the reason I have to, I need you to know that I feel this way, and because I'm saying this, because, and all he wanted to know was a yes and no answer.
Right.
You know?
No, I don't do that.
Do you feel good today? Well, I would like to say that I feel good, but I just want you to know where I'm coming from. The reason I can't say la 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 is, oh man.
No, that I don't do.
It's brutal. Brutal. So what Paul's trying to say is quit trying to word the guy to death. And women, overwhelmingly, rather than act the right way, rather than confront the way they should confront, they do none of those things. It's like the lady who wouldn't have enough sense to take a computer out of the house when a guy is looking at porn constantly. No. Why does she? Well, I tell him how it makes me feel. And I feel, just blah, 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 blah. And these women go on just chattering and stuff, and they're not listening to anything you're saying.
Well, even the first lady in the email, she said, I would talk to him and talk and talk and talk and argue and argue. And finally, he said, every time we talk, he doesn't want to even more. She was making him crazy with the talk and talk and talk and talk and argue.
I know, because all he hears is... That's all he's hearing the whole time. You're
then again, if you're talking about sex, I'm listening.
If you're talking about something of importance, now we got you.
Apparently not.
I don't want you
to
do this because I don't feel like this. And if you just knew how I felt, and it really bothers me when you do that, and I don't really want to stand up for what I really believe, because if I really confronted you, then you'd get upset, and I don't want you to really get upset with me because I'm just trying to tell you. Oh my goodness gracious! That's what do I do that to my wife? No, I don't. Thankfully, my wife doesn't do it back to me either. I think he's really talking to women who will try rather than do the right things. They just chatter on like there's no tomorrow. That was brutal.
Like if she just says the right thing, he'll finally get it and do it.
You know,
and do what she wants.
You know, I see women like this, and they're. I know it's a terrible thing to think. I know it's a terrible thing.
I know what you're.
But the whole time they're talking, all I can say is thank you, God. I'm not married to this. That's all I can think. And some of them are drop-dead gorgeous.
Right.
Some of them, I'm just like, you know, you meet this guy and with his wife, and his wife is stunning. Like, holy cow, what did you do? She must have been blind. She wound up with you, you know? It's like, holy moly.
And then she talks.
And then she opens her mouth and goes on and on. And I just sit there staring at her thinking, thank you, God. I would kill myself. I'd kill myself.
Some things just aren't worth it.
Yeah, your beauty is not worth this.
I'd kill myself and I'd kill her next.
Okay, next email. I'm a 22-year-old senior in college dating a 25-year-old man. We've only known each other for a couple of months, but we've talked all kinds of faith and family issues since we're both intentionally pursuing marriage. I'm so glad to have met a good Christian man who doesn't yank on himself, if you know what I mean. Yes, we know what you mean.
We do know what you mean. Good girl.
My only concern at this point is his career, or lack thereof. We both want to have a family that is open to having many children, and with the wife staying home, even homeschooling if we can't find or afford a good Christian school. He has an okay job right now, but it's really only enough to support himself. At least he does not live with his parents. He very much wants to find a better job so he can support a family, and he has some ideas on how to do that, but no definite plans. He's only been out of college for 2 years, and lots of people are having trouble getting decent jobs right now, so I understand his difficulties might not be his fault at all. But I do feel uneasy about the prospect of not having financial security should we get married. How much of a concern or possible obstacle to marriage do you think this is? I don't want to delay engagement or marriage for purely financial reasons, but on the other hand, I'm not sure if it makes sense to expect a man to be a provider when he isn't one yet. Also, what do you think I can do to encourage him on his job hunting without harping on him having to make a better living?
Look, it's not your job. And all you single women out there dating, listen to me. It is not your job to fix these guys. Mm-mm. She knows going in, the number one thing she wants is financial security so she can stay home and raise a family. You're honest about it. You're open about it. This is your goal. So you're out dating guys. You meet a nice guy. Sadly, you find out here's a guy who has no career, doesn't seem to be all that motivated to get a solid career. You're already asking, gee, what can I say that will make him want to become more motivated? No, no, no. If you were my daughter, I'd slap you. All right? You already know this is not the guy for you. You know going in the big important. Now, and a lot of people, this isn't important. They don't care. The money's not an issue. She has a great, some guy. Some women make more money than guys do now anyway. That's fine. But when you know going in that your number one priority, based on her writing there, mm-hmm. I want to stay home. Mm-hmm. I want to have babies. I want to be a homemaker. I need a man who can support this. So you meet a guy, even though you like him, and you can tell right away, this is not a highly motivated man mm-hmm. who is going to succeed highly in life. This is when you get away from him. I know you like him. Good. Dump his butt and go find a guy you like who's got money or who has a good career or who has a plan that you know, yes, this is the kind of guy, he's highly motivated
right.
to provide for his family. Now, in all fairness, it takes a long time. Very few people at your age have the financial security to do much of anything. But you can tell early on by guys who are motivated. They know who they are. They know what they want to accomplish. And you can lock into that dream, right?
But she says in the with the financial situation being what it is, that it might not be his fault. That he might be just having a hard time getting a job. Do
That's
you buy that?
But read the next line.
I don't want to delay engagement. No. I do feel uneasy about the prospect of not having financial security should we get married.
Yeah, but she feels, she can feel mm-hmm. there's something not right.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a tough economy. Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. I could buy that. But on top of it, she said, but I just don't feel easy. And then she asked, well, what can I do mm-hmm. to make him want to take his finances more seriously? She already is seeing the handwriting on mm-hmm. the wall. This is a man who you will marry, and he will not be highly motivated. Look, there's a lot of guys, their whole life, all they'll ever do is make minimum wage.
Well, and he's out for 2 years.
No, what I'm saying, there are lots of guys. They don't make lots of money.
Yeah, I know.
There's a, you know how many blue-collar guys out there that just, you know, mm-hmm. they work in a factory, they make 10, 15, 20 bucks an hour, and that's their whole mm-hmm. life, and they're not, you know, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, they're not deserve a right to get married and stuff like that. Fine, but let him find a girl who's not going to beat him up about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let him find a wife who doesn't care.
Well, a wife who's going to have a job and not want to stay home.
Yeah, but
and
no,
have
she
him be
knows,
the single
she
earner.
Knows this is what right. she wants right now.
Right.
So what is she doing? She's already compromising, saying, well, I'm going to have to, you know, what can I do to make him do this, that, or the other? And I'm feeling like he's not taking his career thing all that seriously. Man, just move on. That's what the dating process is for.
She says they both want to have a family and have her stay home. Well, how does he think that's going to work?
Well, you know, listen, just tell him, listen, Bob, I think we ought to end this. And he'll freak. Say, why? Because I don't think you really have... I don't think you take your career very seriously. You know, I know the economy's hard and stuff like that, but you're not selling me that you're the kind of guy that really knows who he is and what he wants to do for a living and is going to provide the kind of income mm-hmm. so that I can stay home. I want to be a stay-at-home mom. And let him deal with it. It's not your job to fix him. Let him fix himself. You dump his butt or hint that you're going to dump his butt and then he does everything he can to change the situation, then fine. Let him sell himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
Let him convince you that he is the kind of man that you can feel secure in being with.
Imagine if more women today actually went into relationships making decisions like that. That would actually force the guy to become something versus marry the guy based on just feelings and then have to deal with this
because it's going to be a disaster for her. I mean, if this is the big thing she wants.
My wife didn't get married. We were hippies. We had no money. Right. There was no expectation. In fact, when we got married and we said, he had us repeat, you know, for richer, mm-hmm. or for poor, we started giggling.
Because you were poor.
Because we were poor. We had nothing. We had no idea we'd ever have anything, you know, but that wasn't part of our plan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is this is a late. Now, in all fairness, if she wants to give up on that plan, mm-hmm. okay, now we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
You want to lay that aside? You think that's an unrealistic goal and stuff? All right, then change your plan. But if you know that your plan right now is you want someone who will bring you financial security so you can stay home mm-hmm. and have babies, and this guy isn't it, then move on.
Right. Yep, move on.
Because if she can't let go of the plan, she's going to be miserable with him.
You can very politely tell him why you feel the way you are and move on, or you can just look at him and say,
"Pick kiss this.
Yeah, come on.
And I don't mean all my rosy red lips.
Now, that might be a little cruel, but...
Yeah.
You think so? Just a little?
Just move on, sweetheart. All right, speaking of moving on, we are going to move on right now, and then we'll be back right after this with some more of your email questions on The Mark Gunger Show.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on MarkGunger.com.
Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there, because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have another ace up right. my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Now, available on DVD, Manly Man 2. Worth the fight.
Oh, I'm so sick to death of this politically correct. Don't shoot the animals. They might get their feelings hurt. This is Wisconsin. You don't even pretend to be animal rights activists around here. You guys are like, see the bunny, shoot it, eat it, make a hat.
Worth the fight. In this DVD, we take on the mission to free men from the chains of political correctness and prevent our eventual wussification.
We wussified the poor child, and now we got self-esteem issues. Ooh, Johnny can't tie his shoe. Let's not make him learn. What if he's not as good as another kid and feels embarrassed? Let's put Velcro straps on children's shoes.
This funny and hard-hitting DVD empowers men to stand up and become the man that God sees in all of them. Order yours today at laughyourway.com.
I'm dreaming tonight of a place I love even more than I usually do. And although I know it's a long road back, I promise you. I'll be home for Christmas.
For Kwanzaa.
You can count on me.
For Festivus, for the rest of us.
Please have snow.
We got that.
And mistletoe. And presents.
Originally, that line was written, presents on the tree. I'm not sure exactly
really?
Who sticks Christmas presents on their trees, but that's how that song was originally written. Some change it to
the
under
tree?
The tree, mm-hmm. by the tree. Was nice. And you know what? There's no one in the world right now who cares about anything we're saying about this stupid song. But it is a great song. Wait, turn it up. I can hear the chorus. The end.
I'll be home.
Turn it up. Let's sing it.
For Christmas.
La la la, everybody now.
If only in my dream.
to the Mark Unger Show, and it's your fault.
Question is, how on earth did you even know that that was the original lyric?
Why would you even listen to the show? It's not like anybody can be blaming us. They're listening to it.
That's right.
Oh, they think these people are idiots? Well, you're the idiot for listening to this show.
That's right.
You listen to us.
Why would you listen to us? I have no idea why anybody would listen to us. Anyway, what'd you say?
I said, how on earth did you know that was the original lyric?
Because I am a brilliant man.
You're a genius.
Educated beyond my intelligence.
Now, some things could go on the tree, like diamond rings, diamond necklaces, diamond bracelets. Certain other things, like a brand new Lexus, could not go on the tree.
This is true. But I figured this out because I am a brilliant man.
Yes, you are.
That boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball.
That's about it. Okay, we have a follow-up email. Do you remember from last week, the week before, the gal whose husband was deployed and getting ready to come home, and she had the whole list of questions about how to get him to do things, the mother-in-law, all of that?
Yes, this is a continuing saga! When we were last with our heroes, she wrote in complaining about her husband returning from combat and had a long list of how am I going to get him to do this and how do I get him to do that and how do I get him to do this and the other. And now the saga continues.
She says, you addressed my questions and I wanted to clarify a few things.
Can't imagine that.
First of all, making him listen. I asked because I don't want to bombard him when he first comes home. I'm a single mom.
Then don't. I don't want to, so help me keep from doing it.
Then don't. But she wants to know how to get things done. Just let me continue.
Continue.
I'm a single mom right now, and it's really, really hard. I'm barely surviving day to day, and I have no help at all. I don't want to be married and be a single mom anymore, but I don't want him to walk in the door and get upset when I need his help either.
I don't want to go get money and have to work for it. I would like money and do nothing.
Yes.
Well, she doesn't want to. What do you mean you don't want to? Of course, nobody wants to do it. It's his life.
I'd really like to have some help around the house without making him feel pressured. So now, how can I get him to help me, bartering and so on aside, without being an egg? And can we avoid the chicken button this time?
No, we cannot, because this is the Mark Unger Show. And I love the chicken button. She should know better. All you got to do is ask not to do something, and I will do it. Clearly, my dear, you don't understand this program. Now, here's what I would say. You can't get everything you want in life. Right. Now, it would be great if he would just walk into the door with the music playing like this in the background. And the first thing out of his mouth is... Can I clean the toilet for you, dear? Is there a vacuum I could grab for you?
Yes, that would be fabulous.
Is there anything? Can I fold that laundry, please, dear? No, you're working way too hard. I see you don't cook that food. I'll cook this food.
Can I massage your feet?
Can I massage your bunions while I iron this shirt and this dirty underwear? I'm so sorry you had to see that. I'll take care of it all for you because I am a man. I am a manly man. I am the kind of man all women dream of. And do you know why? Because no such man exists. That's why. Because it's a dream. All right. So it would be great if he did all this. He's not going to do it. All right. Don't. You know. So here's the thing. Just by the very fact that she's writing this, she knows when she's going to do this.
She knows she's going to? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Don't do it. You don't have to rag on the guy and complain at him. And how do I get it? How about let him decompress? I get it. You say you're a single mom. You're not a single mom. All right? You're not a single mom. There's a whole different ballgame for being a woman who has children mm-hmm. with a husband who's being deployed fighting for his country and a woman who is, in fact, a single mom mm-hmm. who has no hope, no man in her life, no man bringing her income. You don't have that. So don't say you're a single mom, okay? Stop that. And for that, you get the chicken tone. Just because you call yourself a single mom. You are not a single mom. Okay? There's a difference. Now, I know you feel it because he's not there. And again, you wish he... You know what he would wish? He would wish when he comes home, you never ask him to do anything. Mm-hmm. Except, honey, can we please have sex again? Mm-hmm. It's only been 5 minutes. Can we do it one more time, please? I know it's been 10 times, but please, can we get more naked? Is there any chance we can just be more naked? Because, oh, it's so warm in here. I get this brassiere is just killing me. It's so hot. If I just remove this brassiere, that's what he's hoping for. All right? Now, he's probably not going to get that.
Probably not,
okay?
Probably not.
And I know you'd like the Superman who would come in and do everything. You never have to. Come on, dear. You're a big girl. Nobody gets everything they want. This is something you work at. And don't go psycho crazy on him when he comes home right away. All right? You can listen to me and have a chance at fixing your marriage, or you can ignore me and do whatever you want and destroy your marriage. It's your call. My advice to you, don't dump on the guy as soon as he walks back into your lives. You're surviving now without him doing anything. Why can't you survive with him not doing anything when he's still there?
Her second follow-up issue was on the mother and the husband.
All right.
She said, my mother wants to be involved with the kids, and he doesn't want her near our family at all. If I can't figure out a way to get them to be nice to each other, I will choose my husband, and that means depriving my kids of a grandmother. So what can I say to at least get them to be civil? He's nice to her now, but he's already said that when he gets home, he won't let her near the kids. It's more than trying to control everything,
why?
I promise.
Why doesn't he want her near the kids?
Well, she doesn't say.
Well, you got to tell us why.
See, and in the last email, it made it seem like
and
they
now
were
here's
being
where
more
I would
civil.
Get on his case. He needs a man up. Get a pair, you big baby. You're freaking out because your mother-in-law, you don't like your mother-in-law, and you're going to ruin your marriage because your mother-in-law? Stop it. Unless he's got a good reason. I'd like to hear the reason.
Well, I think the last email said she was a bit selfish and immature, but she's
so
turned
what?
Over a new leaf
it's
and is mother- being better. She's being better.
She's the mother-in-law, okay? So you don't like your mother. What a shock. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know what? I don't think there's any man in America who is shocked that he has a mother-in-law he doesn't like.
I love my
mother-in-law.
Yeah,
you love your mother-in-law. You better, you turd.
You are the exception, not the norm.
Oh, I'm sure he has his issues, too. We all have our issues with these creatures. It is what it is.
Are you just calling mother-in-laws creatures?
They are creatures, yes. Okay? So, look. I mean, it's something that everybody can relate to. Almost every comedian in the world has jokes about mother-in-laws. Why? Because mm-hmm. they drive us crazy. So you're going to ruin your marriage and put stressure on your family and everything. If anything else, you know, I would argue, dear, you know, hey, mom helps me with all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want her around. Okay, well, then you help me with it. Mm-hmm. There's your chance.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. That'll work.
There's your window for getting them off mm-hmm. as keister. Say, look, when my mom's around, she helps me do the laundry. Well, like I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. You help me do the laundry, and I won't have her around. Look, there's all kinds of ways you guys can deal with it. You're a smart girl, okay? You're big people. Just don't assume you get everything you want and be as smart as you can about how to get what you need. It's called communication. Anyway, if you got more, do you want to weigh in on this? You can email us back.
But I do not forswear the squawking button.
Forswear?
Forswear.
I'm not going to sound like I use it.
What? I never heard that.
Oh, I swear I won't use it again.
Forswear. What?
You guys are not up on your
forswear.
King James language.
Okay.
I'm so offended. Anyway, see you guys tomorrow. I forswear it.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.